Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
By definition, a storyteller conveys events in words, images, and sounds, often by improvisation or embellishment. The Living Bread Radio Network presents The Storytellers with Tony Agnese. Today you'll hear a faith-based, inspirational story that's both heartfelt and heartwarming. And now, let's meet today's storyteller with Tony Agnese.
Welcome to The Storytellers. This is Tony Agnese. You know, I not only like to tell stories, I love to hear a good story. And you're going to hear a great story today on The Storytellers. My guest is Bill Snyder. Bill is the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, an independent Catholic youth and young adult ministry. He hosts a radio program called Young Catholics Respond on several Catholic radio stations and podcast on Breadbox Media. Bill, it's great to hear your voice again. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much for having me on Living Bread. It's great to be with you and on Storytellers. Be fun today.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Okay, so I'm sure this question is the first question everybody asks, so I'll get it out of the way. Patchwork Heart Ministries, how'd that come about?
Yeah, so it's really tied into my heart, right? I am a survivor of now 3 open heart surgeries, and so that gives you the title Patchwork Heart Ministry when you realize that I have plenty of patches sewn in my heart from infancy through the age of 27. So that's really how the name came about. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I was at a youth conference in 2012, or actually maybe 2011, and the Holy Spirit kind of hit me across the face and said, I want you to start a ministry. Didn't tell me what it was about, but he said, I want you to start a ministry. So I'm sitting at this youth conference going, okay, fine, but you got to give me a name. I said, Holy Spirit, if you're going to ask me to start a ministry, you got to give me a name for it because, you know, whatever. So later I'm riding home in the car and I'm praying the rosary with a group of teens in my car. And all of a sudden, again, the Holy Spirit waxes with a 2x4 again and says, Patchwork Heart Ministry. So that's how the name came about. And it has grown. The Holy Spirit continued to inspire it through different books, things that I've done through the radio programs and the podcast. So yeah, it's just been it's been an amazing ride. I just kind of let the Holy Spirit take the reins and guide the ministry wherever he wants to guide it.
Well, let's go back and talk about that story. You say you were a survivor of 3 open-heart surgeries, and I know the first was when you were shortly after you were born, correct?
That's right, 3 weeks of age. My mom brought me to a regular routine doctor's appointment, and the doctor stuck the stethoscope up to my heart and said, you ought to get this checked out by a cardiologist. Things don't sound so right. And so that's what happened. They brought me into the cardiologist. They ran some more tests, and I said, he has tetralogy of Fallot, serious heart condition that requires basically immediate open heart surgery. So my parents, you know, being the first and oldest child, you know, in my family, they were just, you know, wrecked and shocked. And, you know, if you talk to them about it, it's a totally different story. But, you know, they were wrecked and shocked and, you know, doing everything from blood donations to, you know, trying to figure out how they were going to, you know, now cope with a kid that was going to have some serious health needs right from the start of his life. And that's what ended up happening. I had the first open heart surgery. I had a second one after about a year later. And in the middle of those two, somewhere along the line, they don't really know, I ended up having a stroke that impacted the left half of my body. So I had some physical limitations as a result of that. They can't tell you exactly when the many medical procedures in the first, you know, year and a half of my life that happened, but it did.
So this is something that affects the whole family, you know, your parents and yourself as well. How did it affect your early years growing up? How did it affect your early years in elementary school?
Oh, you know, I mean, everything from tying my shoes all the way down to, you know, learning how to play musical instruments. In you know, middle school, learning how to ride a bike, and, you know, just having the anxiety of going to doctor's appointments, you know, every 6 months, you know, to a year, making sure that the heart was okay. And, you know, I'm blessed to be able to say it's still beating today. But you know, there was a lot of different challenges that I overcame. You know, I remember the physical ones and even some of the cognitive ones. I mean, you know, or intellectual disabilities too. You know, studying for different subjects, mathematics, I really struggled with. You know, so there were some learning disabilities in there that I had to overcome, and, you know, still battle with even at the age of 33 today.
And these were as a result of the stroke?
Oh, sure. I mean, mm-hmm. Stroke, heart surgeries. You know, I mean, when you have an invasive surgery. Like that, and they even say, I've even read some different studies that talk about the cardiac bypass and, you know, what that does, you know, to the brain and what that does to, you know, motor skills and all different kinds of things. So there can be memory issues and all different things that you continue to battle with every day of your life. But I've known nothing different. I think that's the biggest thing. I've known nothing different, because when I grew up with this. So I've been blessed to be able to say I have a patchwork heart.
And it's really all you've ever known.
That's right.
And, your third surgery, was it as an adult, Bill?
It was. My third one was in was on June 10th of 2013, right after the Feast of the Sacred Heart. So which was semi-planned, but yeah, it was as an adult. So I like to say that was my first open heart surgery and my third one for my parents, because for me it was the first time I remember it.
Mm-hmm. And was it to correct something that had gone wrong or something they found? Or
I wasn't born with a pulmonary valve. I had pulmonary atresia, so when they opened me up to get blood to my lungs, they needed to open that up, get it open so I could have blood in my lungs, but there was no valve there. And in 1985, when they put it in, they didn't have the technology to be able to give me a valve at the time. So they just said, well, you're going to live without one. We're going to be able to save your life and live without one until we have the day when we're able to put one in. And I was very blessed to be able to say when the pressures in my heart got to a point where it was starting to look a little bit ominous, and they said, you know what, we want to catch this ahead of the curve before you start, you know, feeling the effects of what this would bring on to you. You know, we want to do the surgery. So they did it at the right point. You know, they did it right at the right spot where they said, okay, you know, if you do this, you're not going to really feel any major side effects, but you're going to feel better and be better, you know, and have a better longevity. So yeah, they caught it a few years ahead of when I would actually need it, and we did it in 2013.
And was the result, as they said, some new energy?
Yes.
New.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly like that. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is great. you know, trusting in God is great too. So yes.
You, I know you have such a strong faith, Bill, and it's impressive to me when I read that over 50% of the population under the age of 30, when asked their religious affiliations, say none. That's kind of scary. And I know you speak to young people. How much of that do you get? How much of that questioning do you get, that searching do you get that maybe you're able to help people work their way through?
Yeah, you know, I hear that a lot. And I think, you know, working with teenagers, I'm a youth minister for two Catholic parishes out here in Wisconsin. And I do see a lot of that in our youth. I hear a lot of that in our youth, that questioning, that searching. How do I help them? The tagline to my ministry is sowing hope into broken hearts. And I kind of use it as a play on words from, you know, sowing the seeds of the kingdom like God does that, to sowing as in you know, sowing thread into a heart. Mm-hmm. And I try to give them hope. Telling my story and having others share their story of brokenness, of, you know, I mean, I was born, it's so easy, I was born with an imperfect heart. So I think most people walk around with maybe a physically perfect heart, sometimes, you know, have brokenness in other areas that they need to just have pointed out and recognized. Mm-hmm. And then once you recognize where you're broken and, you know, where you need help, then God can come in with that hope and say, well, if he did it in my life, you know, if he did it in this life, then he did it in all these saints' lives. You know, throughout the course of the history of our Catholic Church over, you know, 2,000 plus years, he can do it in your heart too. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really how I address it. I say, you know, life isn't going to be perfect after today. I just got off a confirmation a couple weeks ago with about 40 teens, and I said, you know, life isn't going to be perfect tomorrow. You know, it rarely is, but we're all in this struggle together, and God, if it is, it's 1,000 times better with God than without it. So, you know, right? It, you know, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, Bible says that. So let's focus on those things. Let's get people into the churches to experience His love, which surpasses all understanding. And once you have that encounter with Jesus, and once you know it, you know, in your own heart, then you're gonna live it.
Mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to speak to a large, over 100 kids confirmation group a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that concerns me, and this was a wonderful group of kids. We had an amazing time, and I got to tell some of my stories to them, Bill. But confirmation, which is, you know, one of the sacraments of initiation, should be the start of our adult life as Christians and as Catholics. And for so many young people, it's like, well, I made my confirmation, I'm done. Do you see that? And how do we as a church, or how do you as a ministry with Patchwork Heart try to deal with that this is the beginning of your walk in faith, not necessarily, well, I've got all the teaching, now I can go off and do something else?
It is the most baffling, most difficult question to be posed to anybody, I think, in the church today. I'm not even sure I have the right answer, but what I would say is that I think we have to invest in the individual that is before us.
Mm-hmm.
Because each and every person is on a different faith walk and a different journey. And this generation of teens wants to know. I mean, a lot of the research that's out there says that they want to know that you are not a fraud, and that you are, and that you are not a fake. And so, when you look at that, and when you see that, you have to have that authenticity piece. And so you invest in the individual by showing that you are a real person, that you have real failures and real successes, and that you're really trying, and that also our God is real, and He is who He says He is, And if you can demonstrate that to a teen that's out there preparing for the sacrament of confirmation, if you can address that, you know, issue with them right there in front of them, and then walk with them enough to get them to believe it in their own heart, I think that's the best way you can do it. Am I a magic genie that has all the right answers? No. But I think it's about walking with those people, walking with small groups, and that's intimidating because there are so many people, right? I mean, you look at a program where you have 140 kids or 150 kids in it, and you go, well, man, I can't possibly relate to every single kid in this program. I can't possibly touch each and every heart individually. But then you have to pray to the Holy Spirit to say, okay, let me be the right instrument for a group of these kids, and let me get another individual, another catechist, another person to be the right instrument to help lead that other group of kids. And I think that is, you know, really important that we get good, qualified, solid people to join us in ministry, so that when we're leading out there, that we can be different instruments to different people and help them, you know, in their faith life. Because without that investment, without that personal investment, they're not going to even set foot in a church. It just is that generation's, this generation's mindset.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Bill Snyder. Bill is the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, and he's the host of a weekly radio program called Young Catholics Respond. We'll be back with Bill, and we're going to talk a little bit more about his journey and his ministry with Patchwork Heart Ministries. Don't go away.
CatholicBook.net is your source for all things Catholic. With a large selection of unique items, we are here to serve the Lord by serving you. Visit our local shop in Canton at St. Raphael Books and Gifts, 4365 Fulton Drive Northwest. We are your source for all things Catholic. CatholicBook.net, for 30 years, a commitment to service.
Welcome back to The Storytellers. This is Tony Agnese. My guest is Bill Snyder, the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministries, an independent Catholic youth and adult ministry. And Bill, you know, as you went through your story, what some questions that came to mind, and going back a little bit in the story, growing up, and we talked a little bit about your younger days, in school, did your disability type things, did it harm you in any way? Were you bullied? Were you treated as one of the guys? How was that experience?
You know, that's a really great question, and honestly, one that doesn't get asked often. But yes, it did impact me a lot, and it impacted me definitely. There was certainly some bullying. There was certainly some mistreatment, and you know, baffling even mistreatment from some of my teachers. Some of my teachers that didn't quite understand what I was going through as a kid. And, you know, living with certain things, expecting certain results. There was definitely some of that. And to overcome that and to you know, I didn't really even overcome that until I got into college, to be dead honest. Until I was able to go and say, all right, I can prove this to myself without, you know, all these resource rooms and people trying to sit around and you know, coach me or whatever. I was able to really feel that, you know, independence and break away from the other from the other aspect of some of the bullying and some of the stuff. So yeah, definitely was in there.
Let's talk a little bit about faith story, and not only your faith story, but I'm kind of curious about your parents' faith story, facing the situation with a newborn baby, and just weeks later, having this happen. Was their faith strong before? Did it strengthen their faith through the years? Give me a little bit about their story, and then we'll zero in on your personal faith story, Bill.
Yeah, sure. So they would definitely tell you that this did strengthen their faith. Both my parents were practicing Catholics going into their marriage and well afterward, obviously. But having me and all the challenges that came along with it, which I still think I present them some challenges. They definitely would say it strengthened their faith. But no, they were amazing. God gives you only what you can handle, and they have definitely been blessed to be able to use this to deepen their own faith and help others. My mom's a registered nurse and has been for well over 25 years. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your own faith journey, obviously with all of the issues and trips to the doctors and all of those things, how did your catechesis take place? How did you come to such a strong, compassionate and on fire faith, Bill?
Yeah, so I would say my faith was awoken at in high school. I attended a Steubenville Youth Conference in Attleboro, Massachusetts, with my youth group, and I would say that at that moment, for lack of a better term, they're actually not lack of a better term. It is a great term, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was just set on fire for Jesus in those moments. The realization that I needed something other than just myself to get by has always been there, present in my life, because I do have a disability, because I do have some learning disabilities, and I can't do it on my own. So I have to trust God, and I have to trust other people. I mean, that's just I've had to do it my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so that has lent itself to faith, because there's moments when nobody else is around, and I'll tell you this quick story. About 2 years ago, I had purchased a new DVD stand for all my DVDs, and I couldn't put it together. Mm. I didn't have anybody around in my, there were no friends around at the time. There were, and I'm sitting there, and I'm screaming, and I'm crying, and I'm yelling at God because I can't put this DVD thing together. And this is, two years ago. I'm sitting in my apartment going, how am I going to get this together? And, after several hours of struggle, and probably one too many four-letter words, and several Hail Marys later, this thing went together. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of faith I have.
Don't feel bad, because I'm perfectly capable, and I still can't put one of them together. I'm always one bolt short, or I put the wrong leg in the front that should have been in the back. So don't feel too badly about that. Let's talk about Patchwork Heart Ministries and the mission and some of the wonderful things that have come as a result of your beginning that ministry.
Yeah, for sure. So, just following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do it. The radio show has taken off, and I can't even believe where it's gone in just over a year. I began doing it more on a weekly basis about a year ago after leaving another Catholic radio station, and I jumped in. I found a home with Breadbox Media, and since then, many people have picked it up, and it's been just continuing to grow and grow. the guests I've had, like yourself, and, you know, Susan DeStoney and guys from Catholic Answers, you know, Tim Staples. And I mean, it's just I can't even believe it, you know, how blessed I am by the Holy Spirit to be talking to these people, you know, like yourself, to be even on the radio today talking to you. It's an incredible blessing to have this ministry. So there's that. The other aspect of it is certainly the speaking, although that's not a huge thing, the writing aspect of it. I've been able to write a short autobiography called Solar Quest, S-O-U-L-A-R, Quest. I wrote that actually in high school, but a Franciscan brother told me to publish it, so I did. I guess in 2012, 2013, I published that right before my open heart surgery, or the third open heart surgery. And then I did a Stations of the Cross reflection, just came out with the second edition about a week and a half ago, actually. So mm-hmm. That's really exciting, which has an imprimatur from Archbishop Lestecky here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and, you know, everything. So I've been able to do a little devotional on the suffering of Jesus. I like to reflect on that often, and I have what I think is a pretty solid devotional there. And I'm working on one for Advent right now, but it probably won't be ready for this Advent. It takes a while to get, you know, a book to publish, as you well know.
It sure does. It sure does. Well, I'm just really excited, and you know, I get a chance to hear your show through Breadbox Media, and I was really thrilled to see the piece that Shalom Media's television crew did with you and your family. Just a beautiful piece, and it's available on YouTube, and just thought it was a wonderful little biography and of you and Bill. This has been a fun way to kind of wander through this, but you're speaking when you're out. You speak mostly. I know you do youth ministry. You speak mostly to young people.
Yeah, my audience mainly is young people, youth ministry. Hmm. But I'll talk to. You know, I mean, I'll talk to anybody's age. You know, I'll talk to anybody, you know, and inspire them. I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit leads me to many different conversations on trains, planes, buses, wherever the Holy Spirit. So yeah, I mean, if I'm you know, of use to you, you're listening to this message out there on the radio today, and go, hey, this guy seems pretty inspiring. I'm happy to inspire you or talk to your group or small group or whatever. Mm-hmm. With technology, there's many ways to do that. So
that's great. And you certainly have harnessed technology and all that you do with the podcast and so forth. The website, the website is in there's a couple of different patchwork things. So it's patchworkheartministry.org. Is that the
No, it's just patchworkheart.org.
There's where I messed up. Patchworkheart.org, and that'll get you to the Patchwork Heart Ministries website. Bill, this has been a pleasure, and anytime I can talk with a younger Catholic who is on fire with his faith, it kind of says to me that our church has a future and that our faith has a future. And when we've got people like you that are steering the next generation with their youth ministries and with your independent youth ministry as well, it really speaks to that. And so it's been a pleasure having you on. I really have been looking forward to it. And God bless you, Bill, and thank you for all that you do for our Lord.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tony, for the opportunity, and it's a pleasure to talk with you as well. Really, really appreciate what you do and your time and your ministry. So thanks so much for having me on, and I have a feeling you won't be a stranger on Young Catholics Respond either.
Thank you so much, Bill. Well, that's our show for today. Our thanks to Bill Snyder from Patchwork Heart Ministries for joining us. Join us again next time on the next Storytellers. God bless you.
We hope hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Storytellers with Tony Agnese, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. To learn more about today's storyteller, go to thestorytellersradio.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast and hear all of our past shows. And join us again next week at this same time for The Storytellers with Tony Agnese.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.